And he seems to be boasting of his shepherd, possibly to another sheep. And there's nobody like my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. These first three verses address the shepherd in the third person. Hallelujah. We as the sheep of the good shepherd, we have much to boast about, like this sheep was boasting about his shepherd. The last three verses of this psalm, the sheep address the shepherd in first person. These last verses seem to speak of a time of the year when the shepherd takes his sheep and through the dark valley ascends to the high land where the spring and the summer pastures are found. We all go through different seasons in our life. I'm glad that there is variety to life. I'm glad that it's not always wintertime. And it's not always spring, and it's not always summer, and it's not always fall. Hallelujah. I think all of us probably have a preference concerning these four seasons, but the fact of the matter is we go through different seasons in our life. And we've learned so far in this study that no matter where we are or what season we are in, it doesn't matter where we are or what the climate is or what's happening, the Lord, the everlasting, the self-existent one, is our shepherd. Aren't you glad that he's consistent? He's faithful. He's always on location. Hallelujah. The Lord is my shepherd. Hallelujah. And I shall not want. Philippians 4:19 says, for my God shall supply all your need. Everybody say need. Hallelujah. It doesn't say needs, it says need. And all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. You know, he's the one need that we need. And when we get from him what we need, it's he supplies it. There's no situation, there's no problem. Hallelujah. And so I thank God that he supplies all our need. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. In a restless world, apostolic people that are born again and follow in the footsteps of the shepherd, hallelujah, we ought to be able to relax. We ought to be able, in the worst of times, hallelujah, to find rest. The Bible says he giveth his beloved rest. And so this shepherd provides everything there is needed for sheep to be able to rest in a restless world. He leadeth me beside the still waters in a dry and a thirsty land. We've got a God that knows where the water holes are at. Hallelujah. He restoreth my soul. Hallelujah. You know, I mentioned about Jesus Christ crumbling beneath the weight of the cross. Even though that he was God manifest in the flesh, he allowed him to find himself in a position, in a place where humanly, his human strength failed him. He could not go any further. Hallelujah. He found himself kind of like a cast sheep. Hallelujah. On his back, not able to get up. And there's times in our life, that's the reason we need fellowship and we need God's people and we need somebody helping us and walking with us. Hallelujah. And the shepherd restoreth our soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Hallelujah. Instead of walking around and around and around in circles like sheep would do if they were not led down righteous paths. Hallelujah. They follow the shepherd. Hallelujah. They don't stay in one spot until the grass is grown and it's dusty or it's filled with mud and all of that. But he restoreth our soul. He leadeth us in paths of righteousness. Then he says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Somewhere we catch the revelation that it is valleys that lead to mountaintops. Hallelujah. It is the gentle climbing through these valleys in real high atmosphere that the sheep is able to get to where they need to go. I have no fear. Hallelujah. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. How many is thankful for the rod of correction tonight? Amen. Hallelujah. How many are thankful that you're a part of a church, that there's a rod that people are passing under? Hallelujah. There's a standard. There's a truth. There's a belief. Hallelujah. So many times the Word of God puts us on the examination table. And hallelujah. God begins to show us things that we didn't know exist there. Hallelujah. He has a way of getting under the wool, getting under the fleece, and getting to where we really are. Hallelujah. To find damage or a wound or parasites or whatever might be hidden. Hallelujah. We don't have to fear evil because thy rod and thy staff, which signifies the presence of God, the words of God and the Spirit of the Lord. Hallelujah. I don't need to have fear. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And so we come to the next lesson, the ninth lesson of this series. Thou preparest a table before me. Thou preparest a table before me. A table. What is the psalmist talking about when he speaks of a table? As the sheep began to approach the high mountain country of the southern or the summer ranges, the shepherd will make several trips along ahead, higher into the mountainous area. And it will be at a time when the winter snow has begun to melt and recede. And he leaves his sheep in a lower area, and he begins to go into the high mountain country. He is alone in the lofty heights. And the shepherd goes before the sheep to search out the special places of feeding and being safe. The plateaus, hallelujah. It's a flat topped elevation where most of the time there is one or more cliff-like sides to the plateaus. Or a mason is the same way. I was looking in my word processor, I think it was today or last night, and a synonym for plateau is table. It's table. The old word plateau is an old Spanish or Latin word meaning table. I believe David, when he was speaking of this prepared table, he was speaking of a mesa. And we call it sometimes tableland. This table is not quickly set. It's not something that is just is prepared in a moment's time, but it is maybe weeks that he slips up and he's looking at the tableland, and he is preparing for the table to be spread. This table is not quickly set with just what is on hand. Hallelujah. I have been in places before, and sometimes I've been in those places in my own kitchen where it's not a big feast, but it's just leftovers. It's just grabbing something to slam on the table. And well, what is there to eat tonight before we go to bed? And sometimes it's things that have already been eaten on. Sometimes you go to the refrigerator, and even when your name is on it, it is mysteriously emptied and just kind of placed back like some ghost somewhere has crawled into the refrigerator and eaten up the last bites of what we have. And so, but this table is not something that's quickly set. There's preparation. We just got back from Brother Cox's camp meeting, and everybody that's ever been there says you ought to go there for camp meeting at least once in your lifetime. There's got to be weeks and weeks of planning when it comes to the food that they serve at this camp meeting. Every imaginable thing, all kinds of, you don't have to settle with any certain one kind of meat. I settled for crawfish two nights in a row and ate several trays of them just very slowly taking my time. And but all kinds of desserts and all kinds of Cajun foods and just anything that you could imagine, it was a table spread. Hallelujah. The shepherd goes into the high country several times before the sheep are allowed to go up. And he finds that special place, that table land, and he looks for poisonous plants. He looks for things that might injure a sheep if they were eaten. And sometimes a sheep has not got enough discretion to determine what is good and what is not good. And so he goes through the area and he makes sure that everything that is available is all right. He also looks for prints in the ground predators and those animals that would injure or hurt the sheep. It's not just a matter of just a little bit of time of preparation, but it is much time of preparation. I wonder what that means to us as Christians and our Christian experience with the Lord. Well, I will tell you this, that Jesus, the Good Shepherd, hallelujah, also goes before us. Hallelujah. He knows the things that we're going to face before we ever face them. He knows what's at the top of the mountain before we ever get there. It has already been studied. He is aware if there's a predator somewhere on the loose. He's going to be on the lookout. He's going to watch the pattern of this vicious animal. He's not going to put his sheep in a bad position where the shepherd is not prepared for the challenge. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd, also has gone before us to prepare a place. Hallelujah. I believe God gets excited when it's church time around here. And sometimes we may wonder if there's anything to eat. And we wonder, Lord, well, are we going to have church tonight or not? But I want to tell you, God has a beautiful way to prepare a place for us. He's got a seat at the table for every one of us. I believe that God can enable us to have something special every time we come to the house of God. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ, when he came to this world, he came prepared or to prepare. He took on the form of man to prepare a table. It was a tremendous price that Jesus Christ paid as this lonely shepherd came into a wild and a cruel world. Hallelujah. You think of Gethsemane and what he went through. I preached about it Sunday morning. And you think about Pilate's hall and them accusing him and charging him and of all kinds of things and making fun of him. You think of Calvary and the red rich blood that rolled down that cross and puddled at the foot of that cross. What was he doing? He was preparing a table for us. Hallelujah. It's a beautiful picture of command, the communion table. Hallelujah. Where we are reminded of the blood of Jesus Christ and the flesh of Jesus Christ. How that he gave himself and he made the sacrifice for us. Hallelujah. There's no reason for anybody here to go hungry. There's no reason for anybody, hallelujah, to be despondent and be empty and say, I'm not getting anything out of this. There's a table that Jesus Christ has spread. Hallelujah. It's a wonderful thing to be able to sit at the Lord's table and have a confidence. Hallelujah. Knowing that he has prepared something that is good. Hallelujah. Knowing that it doesn't matter what he faces, that he's not going to be taken by surprise with anything. He knows where the poisonous plants of sin are. He knows where the predator is. He dealt with a predator a long time ago in the wilderness, and he knows his habits, and he knows his downfalls, and he can handle the predator. He is acquainted with our most dangerous foe, our own flesh. Hallelujah, our self-will. Hallelujah. And so when you think of a table, it gives the connotations of a feast, of a banquet. Hallelujah. When you think of a table, you think of great variety. When you think of a banquet, you don't think of bologna sandwiches. You don't think of a piece of cheese and a cracker. Hallelujah. But you think of a great place of banqueting.
Hallelujah. You think of the fellowship that's there. Hallelujah. When you think of a banquet, when you think of feasting, you don't think of just one guy sitting at the table or sitting over in the corner of a Starbucks. Hallelujah. Eating a cookie and drinking one of those crazy, you know, expensive drinks. Hallelujah. Man, I'm against that coffee, I'll tell you that. Hallelujah. But the Lord knows how to spread a table. Hallelujah. He knows what he's doing when he lays out a spread. Hallelujah. Some never see it. Some never recognize what's here and available and ready for us if we'll reach for it. But I want to tell you, it's here tonight. It's here tonight. Hallelujah. Psalms chapter 78 and verse 19. Yea, they have spoken against God. They said, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Can you imagine being so presumptuous to make a statement like that concerning God? Can he furnish a table in the wilderness? Behold, he smote the rock that the waters gushed out and the streams overflowed. He can give bread also. Can he provide flesh for his own people? Hallelujah. Therefore, the Lord heard this and was wroth. So a fire was kindled against Jacob, and anger also come up against Israel, because they believe not in God and trusted not in his salvation. Though he has commanded the clouds from above and opened the doors of heaven, had rained down man upon them to eat, and had given them of the corn of heaven, man did eat angels' food. He sent them meat for the full. He caused an east wind to blow in the heaven, and by his power he brought in the south wind. He rained flesh also upon them as dust, and feathered fowls as the sands of the sea. And he let it fall in the midst of his camp round about their habitation. So they did eat and were well filled. So for he gave them their own desire. It seems like God was saying, I'll show you. And you'll eat until it runs out your nose and your ears. I'll show you in the midst of the worst of circumstances that I can supply the need. He caused the wind to blow. Somebody estimated that the quail was 4 feet deep. That's not true. It's in the Bible when you look at the measurement. Somewhere around 4 feet deep from the camp and 20 miles in any direction. You talk about providing meat. Somebody estimated that 2,520,000,000 gallons of quail. Somebody said it was 20,160,000,000 quail that fell in this place. And you ask yourself the question, can God provide a full table? Does God know how to spread the table? God can spread the table anytime, any place, under any circumstances. There's people here tonight that need to realize that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. 2 Kings chapter 6 tells the story, and I'm not going to go into it, but it was in Samaria, and they were starving to death. And the enemy had surrounded them and cut off the supply line, and there were children dying, and there was all kinds of horrible things happening. And the Bible lets us know that mothers were eating their children. And all of a sudden, the prophet stood up and began to prophesy and said, by this time tomorrow shall there be, hallelujah, fine meal. There's going to be something to eat. There's going to be bread in the house. And even though there were some that did not believe it before that next day had fully come, that was exactly what happened. That's what happened when Jesus Christ took a little boy's sack lunch and fed 5,000 men, not counting the women and the children. Because if you're hungry tonight, if you've got a need tonight, I've got a God that is able to supply your need. There's a table that has been set. There's a table that has been prepared. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. In the book of Leviticus, the Bible tells us how that God commanded the children of Israel that every seventh year they were not to plant their crops. For 6 years they could plant and they could reap, but on the seventh year they were not to plant one seed. It was the time of rest, and so they were to believe the Lord And he explained it to them, and he said, "And if you shall say," this is in Leviticus 25 and 20, "what shall we eat the seventh year? Behold, we shall not sow nor gather in our increase." What in the world are we going to end? "Then will I eat. Then will I command my blessings upon you in the sixth year, and it shall bring forth fruit for 3 years. I'm going to give you a blessing on the sixth year if you'll trust me and you'll have the right table manners. You'll believe what I'm saying. I'm going to give you a harvest every sixth year."
That sixth number speaks of the nature of man. Hallelujah. And yet he says that on this sixth year, I'm going to triple. You're going to have food for the seventh year. You're going to have food for the eighth year. And it's going to bring forth fruit for 3 years. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He prepares a table before us in the presence of our enemies. You know, a good man will have enemies. Hallelujah. I don't think I have any bad enemies. I think even the ones that think they're bad help me. They help me pray. They help me hang on. Hallelujah. And every good man ought to have some enemies. David had enemies. 2 Timothy 3 and 12, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." Hallelujah. It happens. It's going to happen. It's happened in the past. If it's not happening to you right now, probably before you're able to get out of this old world, it's going to happen, and God's going to give you a real good enemy. It's going to help you pray. It's going to humble you. Hallelujah. It's not God's way usually to remove temptation. Mostly it's God's way to strengthen the tempted. Just because you reach the top of the mountain doesn't mean that you don't have enemies. You can be at the top of the world and your enemies have a way of finding you in the sunshine and in the rain, in the light and in the darkness. Hallelujah. Very faithful many times. Enemies. Hallelujah. We find that there's enemies in the world that try to get a hold of us and try to shape us and conform us to the things of this old world. God, I hope this church, I tell you, we got too much of it. People trying to stay on top of every fashion and every new thing that's out and every haircut or the lack thereof and just all kinds of things. I do believe if they started making big old high heel shoes for men, that some of you'd try to wear them. I tell you what, I just don't know. Hallelujah. The world tries to press us and conform us, and then we get intoxicated with it sometimes, and we start trying to act like the world, and talk like the world, and listen to worldly music, and go to places that are not conducive to our spiritual life. Hallelujah. These are enemies of God Almighty. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so the world is there to challenge us. Hallelujah. The devil is there to try to destroy us. He's very cunning, and he's been doing it a long, long time. Now, he's no match for the devil if we'll put the devil in God's hands. But sometimes we have problems with the devil, and then the real devil is the one we see in the mirror. This old flesh. You know, we can be obedient to a lot of things around the church. Hallelujah. But when it comes to self-wills, hallelujah. When we're wanting to do it, we want what we want. We want to have it our way. We got 99.9 things right, and there's just one little thing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But Jesus has gone before us. Hallelujah. John chapter 16, verse 33, "These things have I spoken to you that in me ye might have peace." Hallelujah. Now this is a statement that's going to I'm going to read that some of you don't believe.
In the world ye shall have tribulation.
I can't believe I'm living with God and I got problems. I can't believe I'm going through this. And you know, I've been faithful. You're going to have tribulation, but be of good cheer.
Hallelujah. The shepherd says, I have overcome the world. 1 John 4:4, ye of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world.
We can overcome the world. But you got to want to overcome the world. You got to want to stay away from these things that represent the world. Really worried about people spending so much time connected with things of the world. And just, you know, when we talk about being worldly, you know, being worldly. Really, when you look at that word in the Bible, it's not talking about some of these way out things. It's talking about just carnal, just godless, just not full of what you ought to be full of, just kind of taking it easy and lethargic concerning God and the things of the Lord. Hallelujah. Instead of heavenly, you're worldly. You're trying to hold on to those things that are temporal. The devil, 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, is as a roaring lion, walking about seeking whom he... About my favorite word in that verse is the next one, may devour. He can't devour you if you unless you let him. Unless you give place to the devil. Hallelujah. He's not going to be able to bother you. I mean, the Lord is saying, hey, I'm going to place a table here. I'm going to spread a table here. And I'm going to have all these things that we need. But I'm going to do it in the midst of my enemies, in the presence of my enemies. They're going to be like, hey, this is one in your face. Go ahead and lick your jaws and slobber all over your chin. Woof. We don't need any woofs around the church. Hallelujah. In the presence of mine enemies. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hebrews 4:15. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. We need a revelation that the Lord is not only able to feed us, but he's able to protect us. If we spend all of our time looking at the enemy, especially in this day and time, we are going to be demoralized and we're going to become very afraid. I'm going to tell you, there is a destiny that this world is headed toward. And they're going to make the trip. They're going to make the trip. According to this Bible, it's already happening. Hell has enlarged its gates because we're in a world that is headed to hell. And if we spend our time listening to their broadcasting, and just that's all we've got our eyes on is what we can see around us, instead of looking up and seeing what you see when you look up, if we don't do that, we're going to perish. We can spend our time fretting or feasting. You can wring your hands, or you can just say, well, God, you made me some promises. You're my shepherd. You got exactly what I need. I got to know that you've got it, because that's what the Bible says. That's what I've experienced in times past. Hallelujah. And I'm not going to spend my time fretting. I'm going to spend some time feasting and believe in the Lord. Don't spend your time worrying about the future. Worship him that has the future in the palm of his hands.
Hallelujah. Let's quit worrying about these things.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I want to tell you, there's some bad times in life. There's some bad things that happen to us in life. But I want to tell you, it is very seldom, if ever, that it becomes worse than what we think it is.
That's right. Some of you was having a nervous breakdown last year, and you can't remember what it was about. Hallelujah. You're working on one this year. You've got it planned when it's going to happen. Hallelujah. I've talked to people just recently. I cannot talk them out of the bad things that they're convinced is going to happen to them. Hallelujah. I had somebody contact me today. You talk about slap, 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 slap. I thought, where are they coming from? What are they talking about? Hallelujah. An empty soul who never feasts is one who is forever hungry. The soul who feeds at the table of the Lord is continually rejoicing, even in the presence of his enemies. In fact, it's probably kind of very refreshing. Hallelujah. Maybe the Lord sometimes takes some of these enemies by their ears and pulls them right up there in our face and makes them watch us eat of the delicacies and the blessings that God's made available to us. John chapter 14 and verse 2, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." You know, it's something special about somebody just pushing a chair back and saying, "Hey, come on. Come on, sit here with me." It's something special about finding a place to sit down and know that somebody has taken the time to put things on the table just right and to make it look appetizing. It's a place that's prepared for us. I'm glad for this church. I'm glad God's allowed me to have a place here. I don't know of another place in the world, as bad as it gets sometimes, I don't know of another place in the world that I would rather be than right here. Right here tonight. He's prepared a place for us. A place for us. I don't believe we have to wait till we get to heaven to be there. These theirs that's talking about heaven. Something can happen, and it does happen. Sometimes it happens on a Sunday night. Some guy or some lady or some young person has been working all week and comes dragging in here. Just feel like they're just barely making it. I just don't know. I don't know of a time that I went to the house of God and I was disappointed that I went. I've always felt better, especially, hallelujah, when the glory's falling and the river's rolling. People are singing the praises of the Lord, and somebody gets so much on them, they just can't stay still any longer. Hallelujah. Getting that banana pudding all over their chin, you know, and just asking for some more. And hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's always more at his table. He never runs out. He's never going to run out. He's got a place prepared for us. Hallelujah. It's never going to get so full around here that somebody don't have a place if they want it. I want to tell you, the devil will make people believe, you know, I can't come to this place. This happened or that happened. I'm here to tell you, you need to get over that. You need to get over it. I'm convinced to believe that a lot of people, they head out somewhere and they leave the shepherd. And they go here, there, and yonder trying to get into another fold and trying to link up with the shepherd. And it's just not there. And they spend their life in famine and in dry places. What they had at a younger age, they've lost, and they never get it back again. Hallelujah. God wants us to be fed. Hallelujah. We don't need to spend our time worrying. Ephesians 2 and 6, and hath raised us up together. Everybody say together. Together. We need each other. Together. And made us sit together. Everybody say together. Together. In heavenly places. With Christ Jesus. John 10 and 10. The thief hath come to kill and steal and destroy. I am come that they might have life. And that they might have it more abundantly. Psalms 18 and 33. He maketh my feet like hinds' feet. He setteth me upon my high places. He takes me and sets me at the table. Hallelujah. It doesn't mean that you're not hurting anymore. It doesn't mean that everything's all right. But I tell you what it does mean. It means that enough is right. So you've got something to rejoice about. You've got something to be thankful for. Oh, the unbelievable blessings that God has sent our way. The times that we feast, the time that we shout and dance, the time that we glorify God, and spiritually we are just enveloped with His love and His kindness. And all of a sudden His hand is moving over us and finding the wounds and the hurt places. And hallelujah, He's taking care of the parasites and He's taking care of the enemy. Hallelujah, He's brought such peace that we can lie down in a green pasture while the world is restless and running and so empty and thinking this is going to satisfy them or that's going to satisfy them, and all the toys that they ever acquire, eventually they end up in the dump. But oh, we got a table spread. Hallelujah. We got a table spread in the presence of our enemies. Let's stand tonight. Hallelujah. In the name of the Lord Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. There's no want from the hand of the shepherd. I want you to bow your heads tonight, and I want you to think about, hallelujah, this table spread. Come and dine, the Master calleth. Come and dine. You can feast at Jesus' table all the time. He who fed the multitude turned the water into wine. To the hungry calleth, come and dine. Hallelujah. Why don't we come up front? Why don't we do this together? I wish everybody in a pew tonight would get out of that pew and get as close as you can tonight. Jesus loves us. He gives us joy and happiness that money can't buy. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Whether it's wintertime or summertime, spring or fall. Hallelujah. Wherever we're at, the shepherd's there. He's there to provide. He's there to protect. He's there to look over us. He loves us. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We thank you, God. We need your help, God. We need your help, God. I want to say this tonight from the depths of my heart. We got some little sheep around here. We got some little sheep around here that needs the Lord to help them. Sometimes we can get so messed up, so confused, disoriented. Sometimes when we step to the cash register of life, things are not balancing out the way they ought to balance out. We're paying much for little, and God has offered, hallelujah, just a little bit. It's all you got to have, and we can have much. Hallelujah, hallelujah. He wants to touch us and bless us. He wants to bless our homes. He wants us as parents to some way be able to get our kids, keep them in the right path and the right direction. Hallelujah. Sometimes the shepherd looks for a lead sheep. Hallelujah. To kind of give direction. Hallelujah. Somebody that knows what it is to follow God. Hear the voice of God. Hallelujah. When somebody gets hurt or somebody makes a wrong decision, it ain't time to kill somebody. It's time to find, hallelujah, where the problem's at through love and mercy and kindness. Hallelujah. Help that individual. Hallelujah. To get back on track. Hallelujah. Who's here like that? There's several people like that. There's a lot of us that find ourselves just disoriented. Hallelujah. The Lord wants to help us. He wants to reach with that long staff and catch us. Sometimes by the leg, sometimes by the neck. We've found ourselves in a place we can't get out of by ourselves. I want to tell you, people can hurt you and things can happen that you're left to where you don't think you can get out of the situation. But I want to tell you, it don't matter. Jesus is able. How many has got confidence in this Savior, this shepherd? Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Alabaha sianda yadabohu kiyarabaya. Oh, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. I don't know how long it's going to be before we get to that last verse. Hallelujah. Goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I'm going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Don't you want to make it? Don't you want to make it? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Don't you want the door open when you get there? Don't you want the table spread? Oh, Jesus, 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 Jesus. Oh, glory, 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 glory. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Why don't you just stand on that faith tonight? Let's sing this song together. Go ahead and sing it, yes. In the light of His glory and grace. Tonight, why don't you turn around and hug somebody's neck tonight? Look them in the face. Hallelujah, hallelujah. It's the face of God. Full face. Strength. Of His glory and grace. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Aleasata yala na na boka. hands and praise Him. Oh, we love you, Lord. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah, my mind just suddenly went to Mephibosheth. He was a son of Saul's. He was crippled from his youth. Some way got out of circulation. Saul had been taken care of, and David was on the throne, and there was a little bit of fear in this man's life toward David finding him or wanting to kill him. He's crippled. He's injured. He's got problems. You know the story, how that he was sent for and took that little crippled fella and had a special place for him at the table. We are not apostolic if we don't have a special place for crippled people, for injured people. Our tongues are to be stilled and our lips sealed to talk of in, as if we're glad something bad's happened. I want to tell you, we need to start covering it if we can cover it. Hallelujah. Every one of us is here because somewhere we was crippled. Hallelujah. Took that little guy and stuck him at that table. I can see as they had to take control of his legs and maybe pull them around where they were under the table and where he could get to the food. Something about when he sat at the king's table. At the king's table, nobody could see his cripple situation. And I want to tell you, when we come near that table that God has prepared for us, if you leave the table hungry, it's your own fault. Don't harbor a grudge or harbor some kind of thing that has festered and you want to just keep it raw and hurting. Hallelujah. God, help us to get over some of these petty things. Help us to be ready. Hallelujah. Like the man that found the individual injured on the Jericho Road, the Good Samaritan picked him up, put him on his beast, and took him to the inn and said, "Here's some money. I want you to take care of him. I want you to help him get well. You spend everything you need to spend. If you run out of money, when I come back, I'll pay you whatever it costs. I'm in the healing business." Hallelujah. It's a beautiful thing. Hallelujah. For everybody that wants to come to the table. Bring your problems. Bring your needs. Bring your hunger. Let Jesus help you. Hallelujah. I wish I could just say this tonight and we'd take it and run with it. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Lord, we love you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your promises. We thank you for this beautiful poetic psalm, Lord, that you've given us. So full of wisdom and healing. We thank you, God, for your word. God, your word is powerful. Sometimes we don't speak it very powerful, but it's powerful. I pray, God, that you let this word get a hold of people. Maybe just one phrase somewhere along the way, one statement. God, let it minister to every heart here tonight, God. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we believe you and we pray. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. God bless you in the name of the Lord. We love you. Hallelujah. Good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. You're dismissed.